One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owens.
And what's up, party people? I am DT, alongside Money Mike.
Hey, man, we are at the Myriad Gardens.
Man, beautiful, beautiful
place. Oh, man, and we are here for the MLK Day. We're going to get into that here in a minute, talking in depth about MLK and his legacy.
That's right.
As we continue to move forward, and we're fortunate enough to have Stephen Ollivan, which I will say first of all about Brother Steve. Steve, you can take the mic there.
And real smooth.
First of all,
cat,
about
huh?
Brother Steve. You know, Brother Steve is a great orator. He has done work for the Ralph Ellison Foundation. Today he will be giving a rendition of I Have a Dream speech here in about an hour. And so, brother, welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show.
I would like to let you know that I am honored to give what I feel to be one of the most moving, powerful, and evocative speeches of the century. I thank you very much. This has always been a dream of mine.
Well, I tell you what, the dream has come a reality, because when I, you know, in partnership with some of us, and brother, we have an international audience, and for some of our audience, I am the executive director of the Ralph Ellison Foundation, which in partnership with the Myriad Gardens, we have put on the first annual MLK Day here. This ain't been done before.
Man, history.
And so,
huh?
Yeah, this is history. So your speech is going to be the first, just that many have to come and I guess step up to that level, right? But one thing I will say, what motivate when you got the Facebook message from me, because nowadays we don't call anymore, we just send a Facebook message and to see if you were willing to do this. What has been your motivation for preparing yourself for this particular moment?
Basically, studying the speeches of one of the finest orators I have ever heard.
Yeah.
And one thing many people don't get, I think, is that Dr. King was a master tactician and strategist. Mm-hmm. At a point in time when we had no resources, he found a way to publicize the treatment our people were receiving, mm-hmm, using the television cameras, yeah, showing law enforcement officers beating passive people with sticks, mm-hmm, high-pressure, mm-hmm, fire hoses, flinging people around like rag dolls, and most importantly, sicking dogs on passive protesters.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have the intestinal fortitude, mm-hmm, to stand that. Would you?
No. I mean, it makes you think a lot about the struggle in which they came through, and how very fortunate we are today to be able to do what we do. Right? I mean, it's so true. I can't imagine that Dr. King would be pleased with such a reflection upon his life and his work. I think he would be displeased with some of the progress we made, but still, this reflection upon his life, I think, would be great. And so again, we just wanted to have you come on, and I ain't gonna put too much pressure on you, because I know how you try to focus and to prepare yourself for this time. We will be over there listening to you. And I know you're gonna, as they say, knock it out the park.
Wait, the little girl asked me when we got here, was I nervous? And I don't know why, but are you nervous?
A little bit.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So he is. I wasn't when she asked me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I won't be nervous when I give the speech.
That's
because
right.
This is truly a labor of love.
Mm.
And I
yeah.
thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to perform it.
Absolutely, Brother Stephen.
Right,
well,
so
thank
much.
You so much. And we will be listening, folks. Stephen Ollivan going to give I Have a Dream speech here about 2:30 down here at the Myriad Gardens. Folks, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
A Night with Ralph Ellison
Come join us at the Oklahoma History Center, February 25th, 2017, at 6 p.m. for a night of music, literature, and dance. Get your tickets at RalphEllisonFoundation.org. Become a sponsor and support the great work of the Ralph Ellison Foundation. Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective consciousness.
Back in this thing.
We're at the Myriad Gardens, downtown Oklahoma City.
Mike, let me ask you something. I'm looking at little kids playing and, you know, doing this activity. Am I seeing the dream realized?
Seeing the dream
just a little bit.
Yes. Yes, you are, man. I think we have
all shades.
All shades represented down here. It's a wonderful event. We just had some dynamic poetry reading.
Right.
There's a story time about to come up. We have I Have a Dream speech coming up at 2:30. 3 o'clock, we got a gospel choir.
Okay.
Wow.
This is
a great program put on by the Myriad Garden along with the Ralph Ellison Foundation. But we got a studio guest. We got an out. We're not in the studio, but we got the show
about,
up.
Yeah.
So we got a guest out and about, one of our poets.
Yeah, man, I actually reached out to this cat, Gregory II. Like you, I reached out to him on Facebook. Like you say, we don't even use a text message
right.
no more, get numbers. But,
yeah,
man, this
yeah.
guy is very talented. He owns his own screen printing company. He makes shirts, visionary clothing, if you've ever heard of it.
Nice.
But he just spit some dope poetry for us, man, and I thought he'd be a great addition to the lineup, and he did his thing today.
Yeah, he did. It was beautiful, beautiful, brother.
I appreciate that.
And how was it up there for you?
Man, I loved it, man.
The had energy. A nice sunlight coming in.
Yeah, and then the energy, I mean, they were just staring. They was like, oh, you know, they didn't expect that, but I really liked the energy, and I liked the diverse crowd.
No doubt.
And was able to speak, you know, truth for black men.
Absolutely.
Black people in general.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It was just, I loved it. It was proper. I'm glad for y'all having me, man.
Yeah.
It was a blessing to be on stage.
I saw you even made a few connections afterwards.
Oh, yes. I actually got another little workshop I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
For a lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
wonderful.
It helped, you know, it helped me
That's
out.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, we want to expand what you do and give you a larger audience and talk a little bit about let's do this, man. Go ahead and lay down that first one
so
the folks that didn't hear it so they can hear it on the microphone, one
right.
one voice.
It hurts to get on social media and see rest in peace posts going down my news feed, wondering if that's going to be me, young black man deceased. See, the black man, we had to watch ourselves from the police. We had to watch ourselves from another black man on the street. Since I've been alive, I haven't seen no peace. My sisters, my brothers, it's a war on us. We never attacking the enemy, we always attacking each other. It's crazy how the whole script was flipped. Names, languages, minds, stripped. Then they tell us to let it go and don't trip. What the heck they mean by that? They don't give us what they took back? No, I doubt that. I just want my brothers and sisters to see that we control our destiny. And what we think in our minds is everything. It's time for us to redirect our thoughts and change the game. Stop running from it and just embrace the pain. Yeah, they took away the change, but they kept our brains. And we wonder why we going through the same old thing.
That's deep.
Man.
That's deep. Wondering why we going through the same old
thing. It is called wondering. That's wondering.
Yeah, wondering.
I almost hit an E-flat on that. Man, that was so smooth.
Put a little tune to it.
A little tune to it, man. That was beautiful, brother.
Thank
deep.
You.
Passionate, right on point, man.
His brother also writes music too.
Oh, okay.
So very dynamic dude.
Yeah,
dynamic dude.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
That's why you felt that little music at the end.
Like a blue note.
Yeah.
No, that's wonderful, man. And like I say, from the not just from the One Mic, One Voice standpoint or perspective, man, but from a foundation perspective, you represented us well, man. We appreciate that. And we will be calling on you again.
I answer. You know I'm answering.
But, man, thank you so much, brother. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I know you're probably going to sit around and listen to the I Have a Dream speech.
Yes.
Later on at 2:30, man. But anything we can do, One Mic, One Voice, to promote what you're trying to do, don't hesitate to reach out to us.
I will. Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, yes,
all
sir.
Right. All right. Folks, we will be right back.
This is Chad Reynolds, poet, publisher. Listen to One Mic, One Voice like I do. You won't regret it.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Man, I'm having a great time.
I am here too, man. It's a nice day. The sun's out.
Man, the sun.
When's the last time you seen the sun?
It's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
But yeah, we got another light right here in front of us. Another one of our poets.
Yes, yes.
Represented for the foundation and for MLK today.
Absolutely.
Akamiye. Man, this sister is dope, man. You talking about that spirit, like... She like listening to her poetry kind of gave me the vibe of like a Queen Latifah back in the day.
Oh wow! Thank
I mean, it's
you.
Like a you know,
that. yeah, up there. He too young. Yeah. Oh, he too young to know about Queen Latifah.
I watched him Living Single.
Hey,
he dug back into our history.
No,
that's a beautiful thing.
That's a compliment. Definitely.
Yeah, that I mean, how did you feel up there?
It felt good. Okay. It felt really good. Yeah. I felt like the crowd was receptive and people were
everybody started
enjoying.
Pulling out their phones and you got up there. Yeah, they started recording when it was your turn.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was passionate. It was deep. It was revealing.
Thank you.
You know, it was, I was looking at people's expression and clearly, you know, you had their attention.
Well, thank you, and I am so honored that y'all have me here. It's a blessing.
So when's the last time you've gotten up and done a live performance?
Of poetry,
spoken
word. It's been not too long. I've done things at the ICE Event Center.
Okay.
And I'm usually focused on hip-hop right now, but spoken word is my starting point, so... Yeah. I always make sure
goal,
to hone that craft.
Why don't you just, because our folks that are listening did not have the opportunity to hear. Why don't you just do that first one for us, if you don't mind.
Freedom Movement.
Yes.
All right. He stands before me, graceful in his form and confident in his power. Poised to deliver his celestial expressions in movement. He rolls his back and sends a subtle flow of energy up his spine, through his arms, to the tip of his fingers as he extends towards the heavens. Gazing at the crowd, his eyes are fixed and radiant, commanding respect. And the audience complies with an attentive silence while I am in a tranquil trance. Caught up in the elaborate eloquence of his soothing physical language. Intrigued by his body as it speaks from verses written within the rhythms and carried by waves of smooth transitions. Listen as he speaks with intense somatic songs of soul seduction, riding the boundless ebb and flow of emotion from the depths of despair to the peaks of passion. Woo! He worked his way into my groove, y'all. His glib physique sparks the imagination as fluently as he depicts the diversity of human sentiment. Distant, yet embracingly intimate, and I am caught up. Engrossed in his touch, as I experience heights of multi-leveled sensory stimulation, integration of mind, body, and soul, in movements that unfold like his limitless spirit. A shining aura of delightful beauty, he moves me within. And I begin to comprehend that in this moment, he is as he was always meant to be, free in the movement.
Just drop the mic right now. Just drop it.
No. That was expensive mic. Don't drop that mic.
Yes.
Let it down softly.
Yeah, let it down softly.
Man,
can't afford it.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was beautiful. You represented the foundation well. We appreciate that, and definitely looking forward to more moments. But in closing, could you just say just a little bit about, what Dr. King means to you on a personal level.
I think that that's why I chose that poem, that piece. It was understanding that no matter what's going on, no matter what's going on around you, as long as you can retain your humanity, as long as you can understand that you are a human being, you're a person, and that the way that you feel about yourself, you can extend that to other people, you can transcend all the negativity that might come against you. And so for me, King meant being free in your movement as a person, free to make a choice each and every moment about what it is that you're going to do, what it is you're going to say, who you're going to support, what you're going to stand for. And so when people talk about King as if it's something of the past, to me it's always living. It's a living entity.
Yeah.
So for me, it represented a freedom movement.
Wonderful.
It was being free to make sure that you make choices for yourself, for your people, for the things that will bring you to the places that you want to be.
Wonderful.
Without doing harm to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Hey, you could have dropped the mic on that one,
well
too.
Well put.
Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kamiya, so much. I really love what y'all are doing. Like, this
If they need to reach out to you or find you, how can they do that?
You can find me on all social media. I go by Changing Frequencies. I'm mostly active on Instagram, but I am on all social media at Changing Frequencies.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all for having me.
Absolutely. Folks, listen, hang around. We will be right back.
My name is Kareem Muhammad, Executive Director of Teachers Appreciation Foundation. When I listen to podcast radio, I'm always tuned in to One Mic, One Voice. Thank you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Man, I continue to have more and more of a special time here at the Myriad Gardens.
The inaugural.
The first one.
The first one.
We know about the first one.
We know about the first
one. Yeah, you think about the first one like I'm thinking about the first one?
Which first one?
Nah, bro, we got to talk after the show. You asked me that question. We got to talk after the show.
Which first?
But no, nah, hey, man, we have my brother here, CJ Perry, Brother Perry with us. And, man, welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Appreciate it. Y'all doing all right?
Man,
doing
good, we all right, man. It's MLK Day. We celebrating his legacy. And I want to get down. A preacher, activist, scholar, but also a martyr.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Let's talk about the real King, man, because we hear so much about, you know, how we celebrate him today and we forget all about how hated he was, and we forget the fact that he was assassinated.
Right.
Right? Let's talk about the real King, man. Who was he?
You know, one of the things that I like to try to keep in people's mind whenever we have these type of events, these days where we celebrate, a lot of times we find ourselves really glorifying the great work that people do. But with the climate that we're living in now and a lot of the rallies and protests going on, I think instead of just celebrating and having that feel-good history going on, it's valuable to really analyze and look at what we can use from the folks that came before us. You know, that's something that's applicable, right? So I think when you look at Dr. King, he was very strategic in what he did.
Yeah.
And not only was he able to walk within his community and be welcomed and had the people rallied, but he was able to move within other spaces as well.
Yeah.
And do it in a way where he was able to move an agenda forward, right? And I think, you know, people might have debates over that agenda and then what the best route to take would have been. But I think for what he was doing, being able to look at the ability to move in different spaces, his ability to network, his ability to move things economically was critical. There's things from that we could be learning and applying today.
The relevancy of his strategic maneuvering even at that time is relevant today, because not everybody was happy about dedicating a day to him, right?
Exactly. I mean, it took to the year 2000, where all 50 states recognized MLK Day as a paid national holiday.
Absolutely.
I remember an old joke about Arizona that came on Martin.
Yeah.
And the kid was acting like he was his son. Yeah. He's like, "I'm sorry I lied to you, Martin. I just didn't want to move to Arizona." And then after he's leaving, he's telling the kids, like, "Hey, man, I don't care what they say. You don't go to school on MLK Day."
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a little history right there, you know. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, it wasn't that everybody was on the MLK train, you know. Everybody wasn't with this nonviolent type of movement he was speaking. There's a lot of people were opposed to that, were on Malcolm's side at the time. You know, saying, you know, you need to put your fist up. You need to fight. You know, don't be trying to lay down and take a beating like, you know, MLK would suggest us do. But what you talk about, I mean, especially Kamye talked about his spirit kind of being limitless. You know, even though there were people who talked negatively about him, people talked down and wrote nasty letters, had his house bombed. Mm-hmm. This cat's spirit has lived on through all of that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's saying something about a man, a scholar, a martyr, a visionary.
Yeah, I think, you know, as they always said, you can kill a man, but you can't kill an idea. And I think what King represented was many ideas that were central to simply being human, the ability to be seen as a person, to be treated as equal. Have the same rights and privileges as those that look slightly different than who you are. So I think those ideas are universal and you cannot get away from them, you know. And I think today what's most shocking to me is that we're still struggling for those things that he fought for in his day.
Sure.
So what does that say about progress,
right?
And about our country, that we could plant him here today and he still got work to do, right?
Right. You know, it's interesting. I work a lot in the schools. Mm-hmm. And when you're working with the young people and they have these holidays that are celebrated and opportunities to really look at their history, it's typically done in a very safe fashion. And one of the things I think we can learn from what he did is that if you're trying to move something forward, always working within what the guidelines are and what is already set about for you to work within is often just going to leave you in the same position that you're in. You have to push the boundaries.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not going to be, you know, lawful to do the things that you need to do to move yourself forward.
Yeah.
And I think being willing to step courageously in a situation where you know you're going to have opposition is critical.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of times we might be fearful in different situations, and I think it's legitimate to have that, but to be willing to step in courage with whatever your movement is and your cause.
Because MLK wasn't scared.
he was not.
We're sure, like you said, that feeling of fear was probably present, you know, even though he may not have come out and said, man, this is terrifying.
Exactly.
To be out here putting myself on the line every day to, you know, see change. But, man, you know, think about today, if somebody asks you, you know, give up everything you care about, you own, you know, drop your life to be able to take on this great weight for the better cause of everybody else. You know, a lot of us wouldn't be able to stand up and say, okay, pick me. You know, whereas Martin Luther King, man, he done it alone most times, you know.
He, you know, King said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in a moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Mm. I mean, if everything's going good, anybody can stand. Mm. But when some pressure hits you, injustice shows up, career may be threatened.
Right.
Because you got to speak up. That's the measure of a person. And I will say that today we have very few among us that will lead sacrificially, that will burden the weight of that pressure and won't buckle under it. You understand what I'm saying? I think we must continue to learn from Dr. King. Continue to learn that, the universality of life can never be equally shared unless we acknowledge each and every person's humanity. Mm. Never. Mm. You know, people say, well, why Black Lives Matter? Because folks are being killed in the streets. That's why it matters. We're not saying your life don't matter. We're saying that our lives should matter, okay?
It's funny you bring that up because it's like, you know, Bill O'Reilly and these other cats would get on and say, you know, if Martin Luther King was alive, he wouldn't believe in that Black Lives Matter bull crap. It's like, dude. I mean, as a man in your position to be able to speak for MLK, you know, 50 years later.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, like you got this perspective on what do you think about Black Lives Matter? Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's crazy. But again, it goes back to what you were talking about. Brother, you were talking about how we economize King and make him like this soft person that clearly he spoke out against the Vietnam War, right? I mean, which was very, controversial. When he said there's an injustice anywhere, you know, there's injustice here. I mean, the fact that he saw the world in a global fashion and he took a stance against not only the military industrial complex, but he took an economic stance against the money that's being spent in war versus the money being spent for those who are poor. Mm. And that's in my opinion. I think they said, King, you fine dealing with that civil rights stuff. Mm. But when you start dealing with the economic system, no, you got to go.
Tripping.
You got to go, right?
No, I think there's definitely something to that. Absolutely. Whenever we have a situation where actually the social piece that was going on with Jim Crow and whatnot, but when you start touching on economics and politics and how people in the States are being viewed globally, it definitely changes things, you know? And again, I think it's our responsibility to really take what it is that we see in these past movements and look at how we can apply it today in a way that is practical with the tools that we have. I mean, it's, you know, you speak on what he might have thought about the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that there's a completely different dynamic going on in terms of the atmosphere, the tools that we have available. Mm-hmm. What would he have done with social media and these different things that we have available to us? Mm-hmm. And what are we using? You know, I know when I look at some of the marches and things, folks are posting Instagram pics, you know, in the middle of the march, you know, and I understand people have different things that can be distractions, but I think it's really important to take these tools and really apply it in a way that we know we can leverage it.
I mean, some of the language is the same. We talked about the Black Lives Matter thing and comments about what's the best approach. You know, a lot of people didn't agree with the way that Dr. King went about getting his message out there. They didn't agree with the way that Black Lives Matter went about getting their message out there. They said things to him like, you know, you won a Nobel Peace Prize here in America. You know, if this is such a bad place, give it back to us, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they told Colin Kaepernick, you know, you play football, you make millions of dollars. If that's such a big problem to you, you know, give that money to somebody else. We'll take it back from you. You know, you're ungrateful. pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
the same languages are being spoken, even amongst generational differences. Mm-hmm. And it's the same, you know, for him as it is for us now, even having new technologies and things like that mm-hmm. to give us a little bit more of an edge, so to speak.
I think the arguments are, I think your point is valid. The arguments are the same against it because it's we're fighting the same foe.
Right.
The strategy technique may be different, but we're fighting the same foe. I mean, in closing, brother, Dr. King was a threat. He's a threat. You don't assassinate anybody that's not a threat.
Right.
He was a threat.
And by today, you would think he was just angel who fell out the sky.
Oh,
everything
absolutely.
Was good. He walked on water and everything.
If we want to shake up the consciousness of our society, we have to make people uncomfortable with where they are at. That's the reality. We you can't stay comfortable and want to change. Who wants right. to change when they're comfortable?
Right.
You know,
everything's cool.
Everything's great.
Good.
I'm making money and you know everything. But you get a new boss and they come in and they tripping with you. Then you like, hey, I gotta get out of here. But but nobody wants to change when things are comfortable. We have to make things uncomfortable. In other words, some of us has to be seen as a threat to something.
And some of us are going to be okay with comfortability.
A threat to something.
And then when those that do step up, we as a collective need to be willing to allow them to move with support without the judgment that we often will cast.
Demonizing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy.
At least this dude is trying something. You know, everybody else just want to talk cash.
Right. Well, folks, hey, brother, thank you so much for being with One Mic, One Voice, man. We've been wanting to have you on since the outset of this show, and it's beautiful that we finally caught up with you in this venue.
Right on.
On ML King Day. So thank you so much, folks. CJ in the building with us, and we will be right back.
This is Quraysh Ali Lansana, poet, author, educator, and Oklahomie. And when I listen to podcasts, I'm on that One Mic, One Voice joint.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, man. I keep saying this, but I'm having a ball.
I guess it's getting better, huh?
it's getting better as the day goes along. We even had a little sunshine out here, which is always a great thing, man. And I just want to, you know, we're fortunate enough to have Ashley Elkins with us here. She is a public events coordinator for the Myriad Gardens, and she's the architect of this event. She put it all together, man. We had a meeting and sat down and talked about it. She gave me my marching orders.
Okay.
And sent me out like, yeah, do that, right? I know how to follow.
Oh, fourth, yeah.
I know how to follow orders. But Ashley, welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So talk a little bit about what you do, what the gardens do, and kind of your ideas for the program today.
Yeah, I am the public events coordinator, so anything that you see that we do is crazy here. It's normally me.
Right.
So Sonic Summer Movie Nights, all the funny, weird cat video festivals, those are, they're all me.
Absolutely.
So we're all about trying to activate the gardens and bring together our community here and, you know, bring a diverse audience. So that's something that we're definitely trying to tap into more and reach some of those groups that maybe aren't reached as much. So we want everybody to feel like the gardens is their playground and they can come and enjoy our space. You know, we're trying to transition a little bit more to an urban park than just a botanical garden.
Okay.
So that's kind of our vibe around here. And so, we're just trying to continue to do events like this that the community is going to enjoy and that we're going to enjoy putting on as well.
Great. I mean, I saw and I still see a very diverse crowd here right now.
Definitely.
You reached that goal for sure.
Yes.
And so when you were thinking about this day, what did you envision?
I just thought, what's a way to bring everybody together, not just the adults, but the kids and the, you know, they're out of school. They don't have anything to do, especially it's a cold day. So let's bring them inside. Let's give them an opportunity to learn about what Martin Luther King stood for and just celebrate the day and be peaceful together.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, what does MLK mean to you?
To me, it's just somebody that was able to get across their point of view in probably the most outstanding way you could do it. You know, he was able to communicate his feelings without causing frustration or hurt. You know, he was all about, let's do this together, let's talk about it, let's put forth our ideas, and let's really do it in a peaceful way. And I find that really empowering and really neat, because there's a lot of people that want to get across their opinion, but they don't do it in such a nice way.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the key word is peaceful, you know. Mm-hmm. I think he clung, you know, to that idea of nonviolence. Mm-hmm. Throughout his entire life. And I, you know, it's interesting because King was nonviolent in a violent world.
Right.
Definitely. You know?
I mean, everything beating him down, right? and he's still keeping the faith.
And, you know, that strength of I think, character is cool. And I think he would be really pleased with all the kids that we see here that's representing every shade, you know, on the planet. I know that would bring him a whole lot of happiness. And so we still have a whole lot going on in the program. What next do we have coming up?
At 2:30, mm-hmm. we've got the reciting of his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, mm-hmm. which will be great. And then at 3:00, that choir's performing.
Yes.
So we've got some more stuff.
Absolutely, we got some more stuff coming up. And for folks that are listening to us that are not in Oklahoma City, I'm telling you, the Myriad Gardens is a beautiful,
beautiful
place.
Beautiful place to hang out.
It's a beautiful place, and you know, I love. Matter of fact, I'm downtown every day, so I'm just a stone's throw away from it. But I really enjoy the work that you do, and the work that the gardens do. And anytime the foundation can be part of it, we just want to continue to work with you and to do bigger and better things.
Well, thanks. We would love that.
Absolutely. Well, Ashley, thank you so much. Folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right
back.
All right. This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice, and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher, where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Wow.
Has your excitement hyped up more?
Yeah. I'm getting ready for this I Have a Dream speech. And so we're going to be making our way over there in a minute. Folks, it's been a great opportunity to be down here at the Myriad Gardens. And, you know, being able to talk to people about Dr. King and his influence. And me and DT thought it would be best to just let Dr. King's own words speak as we go to close out this show. I mean, he talks about, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
That was the quote I was going to pick, Mike.
Man, see, we on the same page.
That's right. I got that telekinesis thing going on, right? But that's, man, think about it. You know, in hard times and in times when, you know, the very fate of us depend on other people.
Yeah.
You know, that silence matters.
Yeah.
When somebody else may turn a blind eye to things that are going on, when it really do affect them too. But we remember, you know, who was there and who was not there, who was for you, who was not for you.
Yeah.
And that quote spoke to me in that way, because, you know, we look around and we see people engaged on social media and posting things all the time who are on the right side of the fight. And we have our other friends who, you know, they stay quiet, they reserve their opinions. But Dr. King also said, we're in this thing together. We're in the same boat now.
Yeah. The silence of our friends. Those who we depend on, as you said, those who we think will come to our aid, those who will encourage us, those who will fight for us, those who will stand in the gap for us, when they remain silent, man.
I got your back, man.
I got your back with a match. I might burn it down for you. So I'm just going to tell you that. All you got to do is look like you need somebody to come to your aid. You know, what about this? We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope.
So the disappointment comes to an end, right? But we can't lose hope in the fact that there will be another brighter day. You
know? Absolutely.
The sun will shine again, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Things won't always be as dreary, as droopy, as a sap sucking of the soul, as it may seem. You know, there is sunshine on the other side of that.
I mean, and that's so true. Always realizing that what we go through right now is temporal. It's not forever. It's not eternity. It's not permanent. Hope endures, man. You know, while I breathe, I hope. And we may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. Mm.
Look at all these people around here, you know, sharing the same space, involved in some of the same occurrences in a day's day, in the same boat.
Yeah. Same boat. We're all in this thing together, man. No matter how we arrived here, or got here, and whether you were brought here, whether you came by your own, initiative, man, we're all in this together.
My fight is your fight.
The struggle for human rights and human decency and to be treated like you're someone. That's what King was all about, man. He said it, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Right? We're all in this thing together. Wow. His own words, brother. But what does King mean to you?
I'm going to have to piggyback off of Akamie. You know, that limitless spirit thing kind of stuck with me. Mm-hmm. As we talk about it, and as you say at the end of every show, you know, history will speak of us. Mm-hmm. And who tells a story better than the history books? You know, you go back in time and you look and observe the things that have happened. And the story is being told there about what people did, what people seen, what people were experiencing. Mm-hmm. And throughout King's life, you know, he seen, experienced, mm-hmm. done a lot of things. You know, I was reading this man traveled in his lifetime over 6 million miles. Mm. Now, I'd have been to Dallas a few times.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have been back and forth to Tulsa. You know,
but you've been to Africa. So,
but 6 million miles, man, you're talking about somebody that's been somewhere and took all that road work with him everywhere he went. Mm-hmm. You know, all those experiences combined into a man who was able to eloquently speak truth into those things and really show us what our potential was.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better, brother. I mean, we could sit here all day long and talk about the impact that Dr. King had on our lives and how worthy his legacy is of celebrating, you know. But I'm about to go over here and listen to this I Have a Dream speech.
All right, now.
Because as always, history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's
your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.